This is Jason, and I want to thank you for downloading the second episode for this week of the Grace Station podcast. You can always find us online at thegracestation.com. The response to the first episode was really positive. I want to thank you guys for the encouraging words. And we're going to continue our look at Paul as he introduces himself to the people of Ephesus, the people of Colossae, and the people of Philippi in the books Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. Today we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. So if you have your Bible or you want to look online, we're going to do the first four books of the book of Colossians. This is a really interesting introduction as Paul begins to talk about the people of Colossae and what he's thankful for about them, which is really interesting. Paul was an apostle. Paul had done some amazing things. He had experienced some amazing things, and yet he's very thankful for what he sees in the lives and the experience of the people to whom he's writing. Both the eyewitness accounts that he's received back and the connections that he's had with them. And it's just really interesting to hear what he praises them for and what he talks to them about. In Colossians chapter 1, we have Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he opens up with that wonderful understanding that these are saints, that these are children of God, that these are people of faith. These are the ones who have trusted Jesus. And he desires for them to experience grace and peace. He reminds them of the love that they have from God as well as the union that they have with God. And I love how he is unashamedly connecting God the Father and Jesus Christ. He speaks of them jointly. He does not put one above the other in the idea that one is lesser than, but he always reminds us that that we are receiving grace and peace from both the Father and the Son. And it's just really powerful how he does that. In verse 3, he begins this with the idea of we give thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And this is one of those things that can kind of teach us something if we'll pay a little bit of attention to what he's saying. Sometimes when we think of prayer can become a very static thing or a very rote thing, a thing we do because we're supposed to, or we schedule it, or something that we feel like we should be doing more and we don't do enough of. And there's a lot of things about prayer that can kind of get in our minds, and prayer can really become one of those things that we can get frustrated with or negative about. Paul really presents prayer as constant connection and communion and fellowship with the Father and the Son, with God. He presents it as this is a constant communication between my heart and the heart of God. It's really interesting there in verse 3 that we give thanks is the exact same word from when Jesus, when he's giving communion for the first time, what we call the Lord's Supper or communion, the Eucharist, as it's referred to by some people, it's that same word that Jesus gave thanks and broke bread. And so this is a very powerful prayer that Paul is praying. He's not just simply saying, you know, Lord, I thank you for this and I thank you for that. He's connecting with the heart of God, and he is extremely thankful for what is going on with the people in Colossae. It's something about what's going on with them that moves him to be in connection and constant fellowship with the Father over this. And I love how he presents this, and I think this is wonderful, that when he is speaking to God, he is speaking to God about people who are coming into faith and growing in their faith and people he's going to write letters to, and he's communing with God. He's fellowshipping with God about this. This is not some degree of angst and worry and fear. His prayers are not driven by, Lord, I hope you will do this, in the sense of begging, but in a sense of expectation. When he's talking with God, he's very connected. You can feel the warmth and the connection between the Father and between Paul, and the warmth in his writing that he's communicating to the people. He starts this amazing letter. And I love how, you know, how positive that is. Think about that with our children and our grandchildren. If when we spoke to them, even if we have to correct them, and Paul often his letters will correct some behavioral or theological errors or some misconception or something that's going on. But 9 times out of 10, Paul starts out praising. He starts out looking for the connection that says, I give, this is what I see in you already. Before he ever points out what he doesn't see, he points out what is already true. And he reminds them of what he's thankful for. I think, man, that's just such a way to live, to connect with people on a, man, this is what I see in you. This is what I know about you. This is what I value about you. And I think if we would appropriate that kind of principle, something I've really tried to focus on in my life is to find the thing in a person that is worthy, is to be thankful for, to be commended, and to connect and to try to communicate that as quickly and as often as possible. And then as the relationship develops, you may be able to speak even deeper truths into that person's lives. And this is what he was thankful for. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. That word faith is pretty remarkable. It's a deep meaning. It means to be persuaded of and to place trust in. Faith is not simply a random belief or a hope or I wish this would be true. It's not some kind of fantasy kind of deal where you say, man, I'd love to have X, and so I'm really, really, really going to believe that X is going to happen. That's not what faith is. Faith is the persuasion of the heart from truth. It comes from hearing the truth of God's word. It rises up in us, and we appropriate it. We apply it as truth hits our spirit, hits our heart. We are persuaded in our spirit that a thing is true, that a thing is real, that a thing is factual, that a thing is worthy of trust in. And so we hear the word about Jesus, and our heart is persuaded about the nature of God. Our heart is persuaded about the nature of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is persuaded about the nature of Jesus Christ. That's why we introduced people to the grace message. The message kind of speaks for itself. You begin to talk about the love of Christ, and you begin to talk about the power of the cross, and you speak about the reality of men coming into relationship with God. And it's really amazing how that message in and of itself, the truth about that, persuades men's heart. It's also the area of the most kind of pushback. Because as you're being persuaded with something, as something is kind of entering in your life, maybe for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it can be really easy to kind of push back against it because it's different, it's new, it's unique. For instance, if you are brought up in a very religious perception of God, that God is mainly angry, that God is mainly upset, that God's foremost characteristic is that he's frustrated with humanity, and that, you know, he's keeping kind of a checklist on our behaviors, and et cetera, et cetera. And you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to go here. If that's kind of your perception about who God is, and then someone comes in and says, no, that's not how God works, that God certainly has principles and certainly has morality, but he brings those into our hearts through a personal relationship based on grace and acceptance and mercy and faith and favor and love. That takes some persuasion. It takes some time for the heart to hear that and to grasp that. The same, maybe the other end of the spectrum, if we are coming into this and our life has been filled up with not a whole lot of thoughts about God, and maybe a system of living that was very much connected to how everybody else does things, and perhaps we've filled up with some behaviors that would be not in alignment with what God would reveal in His scriptures as being good, and what a church would call sinful, or what God would refer to as sinful, and we feel this kind of distance from God. We feel like, well, I'm ugly, or I'm not worthy of God's love, or I'm dirty. You know, we start interacting with the things of God, and there's this kind of natural pullback. I mean, if you read in the scriptures, what happens when people see the risen Jesus. They fall down in fear, you know, and it, because here's God and here's me. I mean, I'm meeting God. And it's pretty cool how his first kind of sentences was always fear not, you know. And so our heart has to be persuaded of something even different. It has to be persuaded that God's not angry and that he's not mad and that he has forgiveness and he has love. I mean, that's really powerful too. Faith is being persuaded and trusting that persuasion, saying yes to it. To seeing all of the information that the Bible presents about Jesus and saying, yes, I trust that. And Paul was thankful for their faith. And then secondarily, or connected to that, was the love that they had to all the saints. The love that they had to all of the people who were fellow believers. Both the ancient saints that they would have read about, as they were introduced to teaching about what we would call the Old Testament, and the current saints, the saints that were at their own fellowship or church, and the saints around what they would have known as the world, the people that had trusted Jesus, that Paul was impressed by in his spirit to pray for these people and to be thankful for the fact that they had trusted Jesus and that they loved one another. And I think about that often as such a wonderful way to think about brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be thankful for their faith, that we would be thankful for the love that they would give to one another, that they would care for one another. I think sometimes we overcomplicate this thing and that we don't recognize just the amazing reality that, man, I'm surrounded by people who trust Jesus like I do and who love people like I do. And to be thankful for that, and to genuinely, when we're praying about them, just to sit down and think about this. Maybe go through your mind all of the people who have influenced you for the gospel, for the good news, for the things about God. Think about that and just celebrate that. That's what Paul's doing. You know, Paul has worked with at this point, you know, literally thousands of people, you know, that he has ministered the truth about Jesus, and yet his heart still is excited about the reality that there's this group of believers in Colossae who have trusted Jesus and who love other people. And that's what's exciting to him. He starts it out with this very, we would even say, well, that's very simple. But what does he teach us remains? What does Paul teach us will remain forever? Faith, hope, and love. I mean, that's pretty powerful, that these will be eternally enduring things, that these will go on for all of eternity. And so when he sees them in someone, he's thankful for it. I love to run into a genuine believer who loves other people. That's the most thrilling thing in ministry, is to find someone who truly loves Jesus and loves other people, who is not in this for the sake of religious advancement or because it's something they feel like they have to do or something that they're forced to do because of, you know, whatever, but someone who just has a genuine faith in Jesus, who is persuaded in their heart of the truth about him, and that persuasion motivates them and changes them into loving other people. Some really powerful words here at the beginning of Colossians. So I want to thank you for listening to this week's second episode of the Grace Station podcast. You can always find us at thegracestation.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Grace Station, all one word. You can also follow our church, Journey Community Church. That's journeychurchga.com, journeychurchga.com. That's also Facebook and Twitter at Journey Church. GA. My name is Jason, and I hope you have a blessed and awesome and grace-filled week. Thanks for listening.